Being haunted by ghosts, breaking into morgues, and water buckets determining if you're going to live or die? It's all happening next at AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello! Welcome, AfterBuzzers! We are breaking down Season 1, Episode 2, Nancy Drew, The Secret of the Old Morgue. I'm your host, Chelsea Overocker, and to my far left, I have Samantha Jacobs. She is a lover of all the Nancy Drew classic books.
Hi, everyone, and if you can, you can catch me covering another CW show, The Batwoman and The Good Place.
Oh, so you just love all your dramas.
Yes, I love it all.
CW. And Samantha here is also running our live chat. So if you're in the chat room, say hello. And if you are a podcast listener and want to join in on the live chat, simply go to AfterBuzzTV.com, select our show, and join in all the fun. And right next to Samantha, I have Cade Montgomery, who is just loves all those old mysteries.
I do. I love a good mystery. And this one is really shaping up to be a good one. So
it is. Yeah. It is. Well, I'm excited. I cannot wait to dive in and get into the episode. For tonight, we're going to go and talk about George and Nancy's relationship. We get more in depth with their friendship and why they are kind of rivals at the beginning. We find out George's secret got released, that she hooked up with an older guy in high school, and everyone was kind of against her, and Nancy's friends were making fun of her, so there's still some bad blood a little bit between George and Nancy. And then Nancy breaking into that morgue gave me goosebumps. She has to get a blood sample from Tiffany's dead body.
And then she
gets caught, unfortunately, which sends her to the police station. That's when Nancy confronts her dad about what she found out with Ned, and about Lucy Sable's red bloody dress that they found in the attic in the trunk, too. So kind of some interesting times between father and daughter moments. But you're going to want to stick around because we have our special segment, Who Done It? Who do we think is going to be the murder for this week? And then we have our news. An actor from the show is going to be starring in an upcoming Hallmark Christmas movie. It is 'tis the season, if you could believe it or not. But that's all coming up right next. But before we dive into tonight's episode, what was your overall thoughts?
This was a spooky one.
Yeah.
There was moments where I was like, ooh, ah! And I didn't think, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah.
So
same.
I loved it.
Yeah. I lost some faith in some characters I had been pulling for a little bit. So.
Yes. I know some characters we were really rooting for, especially with Ned. I kind of lost some faith with him towards the end. I'm like, Ned, what are you doing? AKA Nick, what are you doing? Just to clarify.
No, it was Dad for me. It was definitely Dad for
and
me.
And Dad, yeah, for you. Yeah, yeah. Dad, he's kind of become a number one suspect too, as well, on my list. But speaking of suspects, George was kind of my number one suspect last week. And then I was just always questioning, what is the relationship between Nancy and George? Why do they have this bad blood between them? And it was finally confronted that George, this isn't the first time that she's been involved with an older guy. She also was involved with an older guy in high school, and it got out, and Nancy's friends weren't very nice to George, and it sounded like Nancy wasn't a part of it. However, she never stuck up for George, and that just made them go their separate ways. How do you guys feel about them bringing that into the show, about the reason why they don't like each other? Do you think that was a smart move with the CW?
I mean, I thought it was smart. I will say, when she was at Ryan's door, she said, I'm not in high school anymore. So yeah. I assume that Ryan was the guy that she was kind of messing around with when she was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally, that's a good catch, because I was thinking, when I first caught on to it, I was thinking, okay, this isn't the first time George is guilty of hooking up with an older guy, but it could very well be Ryan, which puts George as the number one suspect, because that's when she wants to get rid of Tiffany. But I did like, though, how Nancy, when Bess and Ace came back into the shop, she covered. She's like, oh, you know what? We couldn't get the cell phone.
Yeah.
And she was stepping up and trying to be a good friend to George. So we see that they really do have each other's back. I was kind of questioning at first. But what do you think about the relationship with George and Ryan? Are we still, are we still feeling that? Are we fans of Ryan? Or do you think he is just no good?
He was married So I'm going to say he's no good.
I'm going to say he's a pedophile.
So yeah, that's a pedophile. Yes,
No, make no bones about it. I don't care how tough George is, how mature George is. She was a junior in high school. He was a grown married man. You are a pedophile. That is that. And so you guys know I disliked him from the beginning. He's a pig. So this just dug a deeper grave, you know, for him, for me. But I thought it was pretty believable because mean girl culture is really strong in high school.
Yes.
And I mean, I have a school counseling background. And so when I see stuff like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could totally see that happening. You know, George getting ostracized, her feeling totally left out, her probably having some ambivalence about the choices she was making, but then the reinforcement she's getting is to be ostracized and you know what I mean? And slut shamed. So it's not like then she's going to change all of her choices and suddenly start making good choices. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's kind of a sad cycle. So it was really interesting to see Nancy kind of apologize for it and say, you know, hey, I even though I wasn't directly participating in it, you're right, I was around it. I did laugh at the jokes.
Right.
You know, so I was contributing to it. So I do apologize for it. I thought that was really adult of her. Yes. And I was just like, okay, yes. I mean, there was no other way for her to respond than that. And I thought she did an excellent job.
Yeah. They're in this together. They're in it together, no matter how much she wants to say she's doing this on her own, how much people want to be separated.
That's true.
But they are doing this together, and this is what is bringing them back together. Like, things that happen in high school, like you said, it's just high school. It's just something that happens. You get emotional about something you don't really know the background behind. And George has been through a lot. She's lived, like, a really tough life for her to be only, what, early 20s right now? And so for Nancy to also have some struggle, she's finally realizing maybe, like, oh, maybe George isn't as, like, crazy or slutty as I'm thinking because of whatever she's been dealing with. So it was mature of her.
I thought so too. But with George, she has a lot on her plate because not only is she hooking up with Ryan, but she's starting to get her own suspicions when they were in the bedroom and Ryan took that phone call and he wants to get Tiffany's body moved to New Hampshire to go to a different autopsy. That was really suspicious. So he doesn't even want them to be in the same city where this all went down. Kate, you're just, what are your thoughts on this?
It was so suspicious. His quote was, "We need to get ahead of this thing now." I was like, get ahead of what thing? Oh, poor George. You know, you could you can tell that she's really fallen for him. And, you know, and I'm sure he's manipulated her at times. And, yeah, it was devastating for her. I was glad for her to see it, but it was still devastating at the same time to see her realize, like, oh, he's not who I thought he was. And then that's when I think she really was, like you said, got suspicious and then had no bones about trying to get his phone away, even though she wasn't able to do it in the end. But
and I think in that moment, that's when she said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be on Nancy's side. Because she let Nancy know, and that's when they all came up with this plan, thinking, okay, we got to break into the morgue. Because, you know, Nancy's brain's going around thinking, we could do our own autopsy. I just have to get a sample of blood.
I just need blood.
In the ninth grade, I had someone that did this for me before. No worries. I just need a blood sample. I'm like, okay, Nancy. Only Nancy Drew would say something like that.
Me get this blood from a corpse. I was like, how is she going to do it? And then I was like, oh, needle. Okay, that's smart.
Okay, I see. But George is still, she still really cares for Ryan because they went on this plan that she was supposed to steal his cell phone at the park. And then when Ryan is confronting her, just saying, you know, this is the reason why I'm going through a hard time right now. This is why with Tiffany's death, it's just, it's a lot on my family. This is why we're doing the autopsy at a different place. You know, I just don't want any rumors to get spread. That's when she sat down the phone on the ground. And then she just said, she even made a point saying, oh, you dropped your phone. So she didn't really go through her plan. And Nancy caught her, too, because Nancy was in the bushes. George is playing with fire here, I feel like. So what are your thoughts, Samantha, between George and Ryan's relationship? In that moment, would you have done the same thing or would you still be on Nancy's side and say, I'm going to get that phone? Because she right away, she was there on Nancy's side. And then when she started talking to Ryan, she just completely lost her backbone.
when you're in love,
it's hard.
It's hard. When you're in real love, especially at that age, it's hard to stand up for yourself, especially if you've never stood up for yourself before.
Yeah.
So if I was George in that moment, I think I probably would have put the phone down, but then also at a moment, at least looked and saw or figured something out or went through some texts or something, at least got a little bit more information instead and not completely go through the whole plan that Nancy wanted, but at least come back with Nancy with some juice. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, at least I found this. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I guess I was given, maybe I read that completely wrong, because I was thinking he went in his car and got and was fumbling around for his jacket. Uh-huh. And then he put his jacket on. And I was like, oh, once he puts his jacket on, he's going to realize that she has his phone because it's not in his pocket.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought she put it on the ground, so he wouldn't be like, hey, where's my phone? Did you take my phone? Do you have my phone? Because I thought he saw her go in the car.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I didn't read it. I mean, I guess, but that makes sense. It could be read that way too, as like she kind of lost her nerve and put the phone down.
I thought she did, because after that, Nancy catches George back at the Claw restaurant, and Nancy says, are you trying to cover for the killer, or are you the killer?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So she called George out, and then she's like, I'm not coming for anyone. And then that's when Nancy said, but you're sleeping with him. And that's when the whole thing just escalated. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of took it as, I thought maybe George was having second thoughts. That's why she put the phone down and didn't really go through with the plan. And that's why Ace and Bess decided to have the car break down and be on the road. Basically, which we'll get into a little bit later. But yeah, it could go both ways. But I think George is, she still cares for Ryan. And especially when they were at the seawater ceremony, she was trying to warn him and say, hey, you know, you have a lot of people that are against you. And he just brushed her off.
But the optics on that, the another part of that is like how immature George is. Because the optics on that are terrible.
Yeah.
I can't be out here talking to this young girl and her being like, oh, when there's a whole line of people are going to judge me, that are watching my every move. Mm-hmm. So in that case, I was like, she can't expect for him to be cozied up to her and chatting her up and stuff. Like,
he
has to appear to be the grieving widower. I mean, even though y'all know I hate him, but I understood he needed to appear.
He needed to cover.
The optics of that were important.
And I think the way George took it was, oh, it doesn't matter if Tiffany's dead or not. He's still going to not see me as, just like his hooking up buddy, basically, is what she came up with.
Right.
But a lot of crazy things. You know, we're still not fans of Ryan, but I am starting to become more of a fan of George. And I think she is going to be there for Nancy.
Yeah.
But speaking of our fans, before we move on to our next topic, we just want to say thank you guys so much for making AfterBuzz TV the ESPN of TV talk. In order to help us grow, we ask, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, leave us a comment on iTunes, and give us a ratings. Again, we really just want to thank Kevin Maria for creating AfterBuzz TV, because we're able to engage with you guys as fans and do what we love. All right. Well, speaking of love, I did not love that morgue scene. Oh, gosh. But she had to break in there. Yeah. Well, first, it's classic, because with a typical Nancy Drew book, she could just go ahead and pick the lock. But now, here we are in 2019, everyone has cards.
Yeah,
so it was cool that I loved how they wrote that into the episode. Mm-hmm. And she had to go and break into the car and get the fob for it. But we keep seeing Lucy's ghost too. Mm-hmm. We saw it right after in the morgue during the day. Mm-hmm. And then we saw it when she got done breaking into the car. Mm-hmm. That freaked me out. I think Lucy is sending, I don't think she's trying to so much scare Nancy. I think she's trying to help Nancy solve her own case. Did you guys get that impression?
Yeah, I don't think that Lucy Sable is related in any way to the current crime.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she's always around. And like, girl, come in the daytime. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Come over Cheerios when it's light outside and I'm happy in my PJs.
Nicely.
Like, why you always gotta come at night in a tense situation? Timing, Lucy, timing.
Yeah.
I wrote this down. I said, dead Lucy's haunting her, but is it because she doesn't want Nancy to do this, or is it because she wants to give her clues?
Mm.
Like, what is Lucy's motive behind this, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, after Nancy broke into the morgue and she got the blood sample from Tiffany, which freaked me out. Yeah. She had to go. And then she got Tiffany's blood sample. And then, of course, she turns around. There's one dead body that she don't take a look at. She gets closer and she opens it and nothing is there.
Yeah.
But, and then she gets into the, was it the tissue room that they call it, with like dead bodies, remains? Yeah. And she finds Lucy Sable's stuff. You know, I think Lucy, like you mentioned, Kay, has her own case, and she's trying to get Nancy to help solve it. So that's why, maybe along with this case, who knows, maybe that's why Lucy's doing what she's doing. But, yeah, what do you think is the motive? So, Kay, you don't think it's connected to this case at all. Samantha, do you agree?
I feel like maybe Tiffany is somewhat connected to Lucy in some fashion. Maybe they were friends. Or maybe there was something there that they had. Maybe she was the bully to Lucy. And it's just kind of like a circle to where Lucy knows a little bit more about Tiffany personally than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because it goes deeper than that. That's what I would think.
When the alarm went off in the building, do you guys think that was an accident or someone set Nancy up and did it on purpose to have her get caught? Because remember, Ace knew about this because Ace and Bess are trying to stall with the car. But I just thought it was weird that the alarm goes off and it was just perfect timing.
Yeah, especially after she had been in there for that long. Yeah, she did everything she needed to do and then the alarm just went off. Yeah, that was really weird. And we know we can't trust Ace, right? We can't completely trust Ace at all.
Yeah, he is having second thoughts though, because at the end of the episode is when the detective text messaged him saying, you know, let me know what happened at the morgue.
Keep me in the loop.
Keep me in the loop. And he puts down his phone and he just kind of looks off into the distance. And I think he's starting to really care for Nancy and Bess, definitely Bess. We know he cares for Bess. But he's starting to really care for these people, where I think he doesn't want to be that snitch anymore. Did you guys get that impression too?
Yes.
No. I'm like, I don't.
I feel like yes, because I think he's getting connected to Bess, and he knows that Bess and Nancy are in the same circle. Bess genuinely, or at some point, there's a fraction of it, cares about Nancy, right?
Yes.
So he feels like he needs to care about Nancy as well. And if he says, with that new character, Elizabeth, coming in, then that's just another witness. So then she could spin something like, oh, their car broke down and they were acting funny and things were weird. And then, like, you know, she could spin it in a way to make him more involved. Or I don't know, because who was she? She was just a random.
She's definitely going to play a bigger character, I think. This is just the beginning, because we definitely... Now, that's one thing I'm kind of... with Bess, she sounds like she could go both ways. She could either... She's interested in guys or she's interested in girls. And... seemed like she did have a connection with Elizabeth, because she even texted her at the end. She deleted the text message, but hey, do you want to go grab some dinner? So that's kind of an interesting take, more modern Nancy Drew, that we have a character like Bess. But I think with Ace and Bess, I think because Ace really does care a lot for Bess, I think he's going to have some second doubts. I don't think he's going to be as close with the detective as we got when we first saw the episode. What do you think, Kay?
I don't trust Ace at all. I don't think so. I mean, I think whatever benefit he's getting, you know, he's just a dishwasher. So if he's getting any kind of extra money or, you know, he has some kind of incentive, I think he's going to continue to feed the investigation.
And Ivan agrees with you. He says, like, I don't trust or I don't get anything from Ace. Like, nobody should trust him. I don't think he did set off the alarm. So,
he doesn't?
Yeah, he doesn't think that Ace did it.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering who did. You know, I'm kind of going back to Ryan, maybe, a little bit. I don't know. Because he's the only one, because he has money and...
Or who is Elizabeth connected to? And maybe someone on her squad set the alarm off?
That's what I'm...
Yeah, maybe. I thought it was interesting at the end of that how George came right at the end. And I thought, she's going to help Nancy out. And she was like, no, just give me the stuff through the window.
I thought that was...
that was the window. And was like, just give me the bag. And this was like, what? She was like, listen, you nothing's gonna happen to you. They're gonna go and book you. Just give me the stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, what a bold move. And also, I thought it was interesting, like, is Nancy going to be really mad at her and hold that against her that you didn't help me and you left me here? I thought they were going to try and squeeze her through that little square and then like that little hole.
Yeah.
I was really shocked that she got busted, basically.
That's what I was thinking. Wow. I feel like someone did set off the alarm. Maybe it could go back to George, because George did know that Nancy was in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even she could cover, like, she was trying to help her. But, no, because George made a point by saying, look, you could get arrested and have all this behind you, all this blood samples, and not get anything out of this.
Or they're going to take it.
Or you could just trust me, and I'll give it to you later. So in that move, Nancy's like, well, I don't have a choice. And I felt like that kind of defined their relationship, too. Mm-hmm. Their friendship is strong because they have that trusting bond again. Mm-hmm. It's not like George went behind Nancy's back that we haven't seen so far and didn't give her the blood samples. Now, who knows? Hopefully, George didn't do anything off camera that will come into next episode with Ryan, you know, with those blood samples. But even Nancy was saying, well, take Lucy Sable's blood samples as well, too. I'll explain later. So, kind of interesting. But are we even feeling, kind of going back to Bess and Ace, are we feeling that relationship, or are we feeling more Bess with Elizabeth?
Well, I thought it was really interesting because, I mean, I feel like you don't get to see that in a character a lot, the Q, right? So you see LGBTQQIA, and one of those Qs is questioning, right? Mm-hmm. Even when it's LGBTQ, sometimes that Q is questioning, sometimes it's queer. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we get to see a character like this kind of explore their sexuality. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw on Twitter a lot of people were like, oh, she's a lesbian, and I'm like, she said that she doesn't know what she is. Mm-hmm. She's trying to figure it out right now. Or maybe she's not even trying to figure it out, because she said, I don't date anybody right now, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting to see, for us to have a first hand look at someone kind of exploring their sexuality and kind of trying to figure that out. So I thought that was really interesting.
I thought that was good, too.
Yeah. I like it. Like you said earlier, it's the modern Nancy Drew, right?
Yeah.
This is something that is more open, more talked about, more explored. And this just elevates her character into something that's more relatable to people.
Yeah. I agree. So, yeah, I'm kind of liking the relationship between Beth and Elizabeth, too. So I know we're going to explore a little bit more into it. But after Nancy gets caught, she's back at the police station. And a lot happens at that police station, because Karen is trying to talk Nancy down, saying, look, you can't get yourself involved in this situation. And Nancy's just trying to clear her name. And then she sees something pop up on Karen's computer. So that's when she sends Karen away to go get coffee. And she sees a last text message about the package is here, pick it up. And it's from a random number, which we'll get into a little bit later. But that leads into a big story plot. But what I want to talk about is, what do you think between Nancy and her dad? I'm starting to have some doubts with her dad when he was explaining the whole situation. Oh yeah, the bloody red dress, that's just a prop from your great-great-grandmother, and and then of course he burns it at the end, so that was a complete lie. But I don't know, what are you guys' thoughts and opinions about Nancy's dad?
I thought it was interesting, because you know how much I love Nancy's dad. I thought it was interesting how he just had a story for everything. I was like, oh, he's quick with the lie, because I didn't believe him from the get, but you know, he's a lawyer, so lawyer, liar, whatever. Sounds the same.
Same.
So for him to say, you know, we just got some food coloring on it, I used to scare your mom with it, I was like, is it by itself in the attic? Interesting.
And that's what I found interesting, because she called him out. She was like, no, I remember seeing you guys do this.
Yeah.
And then he just did the circle run around. Like, oh, yeah, we did dig something up.
It was
happened.
A treasure.
Yeah.
And we decided to dig it up at midnight in the rain.
Oh,
I was like,
and
really, Dad?
Yeah.
Sir.
And then that's when she's like, well, you know, Mom said that I was dreaming the whole thing. And he's all like, well, you know your mom. She just tries to say stuff just to get you to bed and everything. But he was just covering for every little thing. But Carson does confront Nancy that he knows that she broke into his office and found Nick's case files. And he didn't really, I didn't feel like he gave like a straight answer about that. He was she was just saying, why don't you want me to be with Ned? And he's like, well, I can't tell you further information, but he's just not in your best interest. In that way, I'm thinking, okay, is it more Ned, or is it more the dad being suspicious then?
Yeah.
So I still, I don't know what you guys' thoughts were when Carson was trying to explain.
I feel like Carson trying to explain or cover up Ned, I think, is covering up himself.
Oh.
Or something that was involved in that case, because we find out that Ned technically didn't know Tiffany was the one who filed the case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or something.
Allegedly.
So, right, allegedly. But, like, when you go to court, don't you know who's filing the case?
Yeah.
Like, you're together.
Well, here's the thing. She's not necessarily filing the case. She's the key eyewitness.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Then, yeah, he wouldn't know.
No. She's the key eyewitness.
Yeah.
What
so he wouldn't.
Interesting is, I was looking up some stuff about, because I've heard, have you guys heard this a lot, that eyewitness testimony is not reliable? Like, there are a lot of psychologists and there are a lot of courts that are kind of in battle about using eyewitnesses because their testimony is so reliable. Actually, the Marshall Project says in 20 to 25% of 75,000 police lineups annually, the witnesses pick a filler.
Okay.
So they pick the wrong person. You know, you get a filler person just to come in and do a lineup. And in 20 to 25% of those cases, people pick the filler person. So the eyewitness testimony is not, I mean, it's just not. And mistaken eyewitness identifications contributed to approximately 71% of wrongful convictions in the U.S. that were overturned by DNA evidence. And that's from the Innocence Project, that research. Wow. So I don't trust this. Her eyewitness testimony that got him railroaded, and then let's not even talk about how if you're a black person in this American system, you're seven times more likely to be convicted of a crime. Like, I don't trust her eyewitness testimony at all. At this point, I feel like Ned Nickerson was wrongfully imprisoned in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I have other reasons for that. But so she's the key witness. So when she testified, she was able to do so kind of like anonymously. Now that is true.
Okay.
Yeah. Because she's just
that
a
makes
witness.
Sense now.
So there's no reason for him to see her. Yeah. So, but I think that even though she didn't take the stand, I think that he knows it's her.
Oh, he does, because at the end of the episode is when Nancy wants to call that mystery number and it shows Ned's phone.
Yeah.
So the dad is trying to cover up by saying, well, Ned wouldn't know that Tiffany called him out, but Ned knows because he contacted Tiffany before, and there's some mystery package that is still floating around.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to come into play. But what's very interesting, though, is that Carson is now taking on Ryan as a client. And beforehand, he said he was not going to do that because Nancy asked, how'd you get the money to bail me out so quickly? He's like, well, I took on a new client. And there is some bad blood between Carson and Ryan that we saw as well earlier on in the episode, where even Carson said, no, my wife told me not to get involved with your family.
Well, he said, I made a promise to my wife.
Yes.
So now you're breaking promises to your dead wife. I was like, it's not a good role, bro.
Not a good role. No.
I mean, he's already cheating.
He
he's already with Karen.
How is he cheating with Karen?
I mean, I bet their chemistry
was
there.
Let's not drag Karen into this.
We're not dragging Karen in. No Karen.
Oh my gosh, what if he was cheating with Karen in the beginning?
Or you know what
making
I mean.
Me so sad. Okay.
They had to have some type of flirtation before, when she passed away, they are going all in.
That's true, because it hasn't been long, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. Nancy does make a point, too, by saying, I don't know if I can even trust my dad with everything that he's telling me, because he still covered up his relationship with Karen.
Yeah.
So she has those doubts. But, yeah, and then we see Carson destroy the bloody dress at the end. I'm a little nervous for George, and she gets the bloody bucket. When you tip it over.
Yeah, I was like, was that blood or paint?
Yeah,
did somebody prank her?
At first, too. And then when he says at the end, oh, we got a water, not a blood.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Poor George.
Poor George. We got to keep watching, because I'm kind of worried for George's life right now. But yeah, that's basically it for the whole entire episode.
Wait, I have one more.
One more.
Okay. So when Nick and Nancy are back at his home.
Yes.
And she calls, and then later we see the burner phone ring.
Yes.
Right before that scene, when she's calling, the book on Ned Nickerson's table side, you guys can freeze it when you rewatch it, is The Count of Monte Cristo. which I thought was really interesting because what are the themes in The Count of Monte Cristo? Revenge, right?
Yes.
The limits of human justice and the limits of the justice system because he didn't get justice. And then also the theme is money can't buy happiness because remember in the beginning, that's what happened to Edmund. They admired him because he was poor, but he was happy. And so they set him up.
Yeah.
So I was like, these are all things that we could see in Nancy Drew. What's that book? Pause. Because I'm nosy. I was like, hey, what's going on in that bedroom besides making out, girl?
I think you're going to solve this mystery, which leads us into our special segment, Whodunit. I feel like, Kay, you have this.
Yeah.
No, but it's not me. You guys, you think I'm saying his name. It's
not
me.
I feel like we got a suspect down.
We got a suspect, yeah. Oh, God. Well, good detective work, Miss Kay.
Thank you.
Anyways, we have a special segment, and it's called Whodunit, and this is where we determine who we think is the murder suspect or who actually did the murder. So, who wants to start? Chelsea?
I'll go ahead and take a start. You know, this week I'm going with Ryan. He has just been so suspicious, in my opinion. First, the autopsy, and then I still think he's the one that caused that alarm to go off. I still think he does. And I don't know. I really hope George is keeping things private from him, but he kind of does have an in with George as well. So I don't know. My suspect this week is Ryan.
Well, I will say I don't watch the show trying to solve it because that would spoil it for me.
Yes.
I watch the show to get immersed in the world and see all these characters and the relationships develop and get to know them better. But when it comes to whodunit, I'm with you.
Yeah.
On Ryan. I'm team anti-Ryan.
We're not fans.
I'm team Ryan the killer. Hashtag Ryan the killer to the end. Yeah, so he's still top of my list.
I want to say that it's Elizabeth.
Ooh.
Ooh. Elizabeth.
We might not have a photo of Elizabeth. She's a secret new person.
Oh, she is. Yes. She's new.
And I totally spiraled on that, so that was not your fault, Vito. Shout out to your hard work. We love you. But, yeah, I feel like she is involved with somebody. It could be Ryan.
Yeah.
It could be somebody else. We don't know. Yeah. And I think she's involved in it in some way.
Good point. I know. She really is cute for a mortician.
She is. Well, that is our week of Whodunit. Now it's time to get into some news and gossip with Kay.
So, very exciting news here. We are huge fans of Christmas. We're big fans of Hallmark movies.
Yes, we are.
So, Scott Wolf, who we've become increasingly more suspicious of, but in real life, I'm sure he's a nice guy and, you know, doesn't row his daughter and whatever. He and Kristen Chenoweth have a new holiday movie coming out. It's called A Christmas Love Story. Kristen Chenoweth plays the director of a youth choir. She finds this kid with an amazing voice. It ends up being Scott Wolf's son, but Scott Wolf is totally against his son singing. He thinks he needs to focus on getting his college apps in. So there's a little bit of a rub there between those two, a little bit of a friction. Mm. So we'll see friction turn into love, maybe.
I love it. Well, I'm a huge Hallmark fan, so I'm definitely going to be watching
this. I'm super excited. It's going to premiere December 7th at 8 p.m. And hopefully 6 Months of Christmas, which is a companion network to ours run by Kevin Ungaro, will cover this movie. I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, well, I'm covering Hallmark, so we will be covering this movie. So be on the lookout for that.
It's called The Christmas 24/7.
The Christmas 24/7. Awesome.
Christmas 24/7. Thank you. Yeah, so shout out to that. And quickly, let's get into our predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We'll start with you, Sam.
Okay. I think next episode we're going to actually see some more depth between Bess's character and maybe Elizabeth. So we can get... I'm all about Elizabeth right now. I love when they pull in a new character because they have a purpose, right? She said her name. I feel like if they didn't say her name and she was just the mortician, right, there wouldn't be anything. She specifically was like, I'm Elizabeth. I'm like, all right, you're going to be in the series forever. So I feel like there's going to be some development between Bess and her, either relationship-wise, or Bess is going to find out a secret that is going to relay to Nancy.
Good.
Very good. my prediction is we will see Lucy Sable full on. No more like dangling hand. No more we turn around and she's gone. I think we're going to straight up see her. And Nancy's going to be able to communicate with her. Ooh. In some kind of way. Yeah. And like, do you need me to help you? I feel like she wants me to help her. Yeah. You know, it's going to be more communication between those two. Because we got to stop getting this like flashy, spooky hand business. I think she's going to talk to us next time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love that.
Bouncing off of Lucy Sable, I predict that Lucy is going to start haunting Carson because he did burn her dress.
Ooh, that's true.
She's going to want some revenge. So, yeah, I think we are definitely going to see a little bit more of Lucy Sable, and she's going to be more of a character next episode. So it'll be interesting. But that's our show for tonight. Believe it or not, it goes by so fast. But before we leave, Samantha, where can people find you on social media?
You guys can find me at storyof_Samantha on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram at itskahaila, that's itskahaila, and on Twitter at kahaila m, kahaila, and the letter m.
And you can find me on Instagram at Chelsea Overocker, that's Chelsea with an IE, and on Twitter at Chels Overocker. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.